Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity is all we need. Together we will
contact me at 240-778-5219. You can go on to facebook.com/teachyoumind, or you can tweet me at rsteve44, or go on to the homepage on Facebook to schedule your next appointment. Once again, Tranquil Mind by Rod, Massage and Wellness in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So first I want to say I wish I was able to make it to the Million Man March for Justice or Else. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it, but I do really appreciate what I was doing at the time. I actually had an obligation at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Light the Night Walk in Fulton, Maryland. So definitely want to give a special acknowledgement and shout out to everybody that was involved with that, especially Chrissy Thornton, who is the organizer for the Maryland Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Light the Night Walk. It was a great event. I really enjoyed being a part of it, especially just being affiliated with Toy Sugars, who sung the national anthem. So it was a great event. A whole lot of people showed up, and it's for a good cause. So, you know, definitely something that, you know, that I really appreciate going to. And this episode here tonight about the Rod Stevie Show is all about talking about how we came together at the Million Man March for Justice or Else. 20 years ago, I remember being a part of the movement, part of history. 20 years ago, on October 15th, on a Tuesday, a very beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky, very similar to how it was yesterday. You know, I just remember coming from New York, teenager, trying to find out what everything was all about when it came down to what the aspect of the Million Man March was about. And when you wake up that morning, you know, it was all-night drive, 6 o'clock in the morning, getting to RFK Stadium and just seeing thousands of buses coming through. As soon as the sun is rising, and you see thousands of buses, just a caravan just coming behind you. It was just a great experience just to see that. And then remembering being on the steps of the Capitol, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's early in the morning. So most people think that it would not be packed. And Dr. Ben Chavis telling everybody to turn around, people that were on the steps of the Capitol, to turn around and take a look at everybody behind them. And taking that turn, the sun just barely coming up over the Capitol steps. And you turn around, you see thousands upon thousands of people. I mean, at that time, it had to be close to 1 million people just going from the steps of the Capitol all the way back to the Washington Monument at 9 o'clock in the morning. It just showed the unity, the solidarity, just the focus of what was the attention of the Million Man March. About solidarity, about peace, about trying to bring hope to our community, to our country at that time. So what I want to talk about was the fact that 20 years later, what have we improved on in regards to some of the focus that was from the original Bloody Man March back in 1995? You know, in 20 years, you would think that things would change, things would grow, things would improve. And, you know, it makes me think of, you know, it's kind of a weird analogy, but it makes me think of, you know, the movie Back to the Future, where, you know, you go, where you look at the original Back to the Future that took place in 1985, and then you see where, you know, it was supposed to take place. The second one was supposed to take place in 2015. It was supposed to take place actually literally this week. It was supposed to, you know, where the original Back to the Future was supposed to take place. And people thought, oh, my goodness, we're going to have all these different things, flying cars and hoverboards and all these different, you know, enhancements that were supposed to take place in 2015. But in reality, that hasn't happened. That's from a technology standpoint. But you look at a social standpoint, the same thing is going on. 20 years ago, we were expecting, okay, there's going to be a difference. You know, it's going to be some, you know, something significant that's going to happen that's going to help the community. Especially 8 years ago when we said, okay, we have a black president. You know, 8 years ago, there was so much hope, and everything was about hope and change. And when you look at where we are right now, 20 years later from the Million Man March, have we had any change when it comes down to how our society is going? Have we had any change in regards to where the situations in our community are going? And when you think about that, it's hard to say that we have, you know, especially when you see all the issues that's been going on. I'm reading today the young man in Ohio, the one that was walking around with a cap gun, and, you know, and he was killed by an officer. They made a ruling today. They did it in a, you know, in a way where it's going to be on a weekend, so that way people won't talk about it. But literally, this came out 9 o'clock this morning. The murder of Tamir Rice, who, if you don't know, the situation was young boy in Cleveland. He had a pellet gun, a BB gun, and he was in a park. A woman, Caucasian woman, said that, hey, you know, I see this boy playing around with a gun in the park. It looks like a BB gun, but, you know, I'm not really sure, so I just want you to come and check it out. Cops came immediately, within 5 seconds, shot and killed him. And what a quote-unquote independent investigation between a retired FBI agent and a Denver prosecutor both found that Timothy Lohman, who was a rookie patrolman that was on duty that day, who shot Tamir Rice, is justified in his shooting. This came at 9:30 this morning. They did one the day after the Million Man March. They did it the day after you had Trayvon Martin's mother on stage. The day after Michael Brown's mother was on stage and Michael Brown's father was on stage. The day after Eric Gore on stage at the Million Man March talking about justice, talking about the lack of justice that their family had and the lack of justice that's been going on in our communities and in the country for years. And the next day after, we're trying to uplift our community. The very next day, they released the findings that the officer who shot and killed a 12-year-old boy with a BB gun was justified in his actions. It's just mind-boggling to me that they actually did that and they actually tried to justify it, saying that there was a threat, an imminent threat, by a 12-year-old boy with a BB gun, and that this rookie cop did the right thing. So people, you know, throughout the news and throughout, you know, the news actually barely covered this Justice or Else rally. They try to ignore it. Even here in the DMV, you think here in D.C., where roads were shut down, where there were tens of thousands of people coming in town, where there were, you know, speakers and things like that. I mean, there was more coverage last year. There was more coverage for a random, for the landmark on the mall concert than it was for the Million Man March. You know, I mean, Drake and, you know, and other rock groups that came in a couple weeks ago to try to do a charity event for the mall got more coverage than the Million Man March for Justice or else that happened yesterday. And that's what bothers me. And when you think about this, it's also on the eve of Columbus Day. The interesting fact of the way the original Million Man March came about, it was actually on the day where most of America was celebrating Columbus Day. It was a day off for some school districts. It was a day of recognition for other school districts. I know that school districts in our area had that day off. So going down to Washington, D.C. from New York was an easy thing to do because of the fact that it was, in essence, a holiday for us in New York, because Columbus Day is typically a big event, a big to-do in New York. They have parades, they have a whole lot of different bands performing and all these different, you know, events and people in costume and all that type of stuff. So to have it on the day that people recognize the day that America was destroyed, in essence, was an obvious fact. It was something that was strategically planned. You know, something that was not, you know, ignored by the organizer of the original Million Man March. I guarantee if you talk to the organizers of the original march 20 years ago, you talk to Louis Farrakhan right now or a lot of other organizers, they would say, of course, they intentionally did that because they wanted to emphasize the point of what was going on in our country, how this country was destroyed and how we need to rebuild it. And a lot of that was also emphasized in the speech by Louis Farrakhan on Saturday. It was emphasized the fact that, I want to quote him properly, he said, a country that relies on government to create a democracy will never be free. These are the words of Minister Louis Farrakhan from yesterday. And that's a very strong and poignant point when you look at everything that's going on in this country right now. So along with the spirit, it's talking about where the spirit of what we were out there doing 20 years ago, where it is now. And when you hear words like that, you know, a country that's built, that's based on the government to try to create democracy would never be free. That's a powerful statement because of the fact that it is saying that if you're relying on the government, organized freedom in a country that has created, that enabled slavery for 400 years, who created the Jim Crow era, who has candidates for president talking about building a fence or extraditing millions of people who are trying to come to this country for freedom, when in fact they were ancestors of immigrants themselves, that just bodes true to the fact that this is something that, you know, that our country is not able to handle yet. Our country is not able to handle what is going on, and they've never been able to handle the influx of people coming from other countries. We call this the melting pot. We call this the country of bring your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And it only depends on who the tired are, who the poor are, who the huddled masses are. You know, if your huddled mass doesn't look like the prototype that America wants, they don't want you to come over. That is the essence of what the Justice or Else event was about over the weekend. It was about the fact that there's so many hypocrisies of the United States. There's so many contradictions of the United States policies. There are so many different elements of what the U.S. claims they're about, but they don't want to fight for it. That causes a problem. But when it comes down to even self-identity, there's an issue with identity in this country. When, you know, a 14-year-old boy can't even build a science project without the threat of getting arrested. When you have, you know, there was a story on the Today Show this morning which a guy that was falsely arrested for a felony charge that he didn't commit still has a felony on his record and still and is fighting legal license because they won't give him the license to become a lawyer because he has a felony on his, you know, on his record, even though he did not commit the felony. It was, you know, he was cleared of all wrongdoing. He still can't become a lawyer because the imminent aspect of him being a felon is on his record. And, of course, he's an African-American male who went through and paid his dues through law school and successfully got through law school, and he can't even get his law license, can't pass, he can't even take the bar exam because of the fact that he was accused of a felony charge. We see this all the time in our news, in our society, and just in our daily aspect of life. So you have a lot of people that say, oh, you know, black people need to get over this. You know, slavery was 150 years ago. You know, the civil rights era, I mean, Martin Luther King marched 50-plus years ago, 60 years ago. We should get over this. Present is still a problem in this country. The present is what's causing, you know, rampant unemployment in the African-American community. The present is where you see gentrification, where they're wiping out historically black areas such as U Street in Washington, D.C., such as, you know, South Side of Chicago, such as Harlem or Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. All these places are being wiped out because of gentrification. The present is where you see an African-American president that is struggling to pass legislation because of the fact that Congress will not allow it. Focusing on the past, why is this still prevalent in your mindset? I'm not bringing you to Black Lives Matter. And what Minister Farrakhan was talking about in his speech yesterday was talking about the focus of how Black Lives Matter went from a moment to a movement. These were his words. Black Lives Matter went from a moment to a movement. And the Nation of Islam has no affiliation, direct affiliation to the Black Lives Matter movement. So he wasn't trying to talk to promote it. He was talking to emphasize the fact that because of everything that was going on, that the Black Lives Matter movement is more important now than ever because of the fact that it's emphasizing what's going on. A very powerful speech came from the mother of Trayvon Martin, who basically said that her, you know, her pain of losing a son, you know, the pain of Mike Brown's mother losing a son, the pain of Tamir Rice's mother losing a son, would have been swept underneath the rug, would have been looked at as just a random case 20 years ago. But now, because of the Black Lives Matter movement, now because of social media, now because everybody can pull out their cell phone to record what's going on, it actually has become a movement to try to make sure that this doesn't happen to other parents, to other mothers. Mothers don't have to lose their sons, lose their daughters. And I thought that was very powerful when she said that, because of the fact that, you know, even though she lost her son and the killer was acquitted, even though all the other mothers and fathers that were up there on that stage at the time lost their children, you know, Sandra Bland, although, you know, they lost their children, and they're still looking for answers, looking for justice. And they're coming in uniform in solidarity, saying that, you know what, we're just looking for answers. We're looking for justice. We're looking for the government to step up, do their job. And it came up in a way that was forceful, but not remorseful, in essence. You know, just not coming up in a somber mood. They were coming up in a mood of uplifting, a mood of power, a mood of saying, hey, let's not take these murders in vain, and let's move forward and see what we can do. And that's what the march was all about. And that's where the spirit of the original Million Man March still comes into play. Once again, this is Rod's TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toy Entertainment. Thank you once again for listening each and every week to the Rod's TV show. And right now we're talking about Long Live the Spirit, the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. Where are we now? What are we doing? And how are we moving forward? And, I mean, every aspect of our community, of our society is being targeted. I mean, even to our names. When you have an African-American woman, Raven Symone, talking about if she was in a position of business, she wouldn't hire someone with a quote-unquote ghetto name. And you think about what Minister Farrakhan said, how we are so wrapped up in our names, how we have accepted the names of our slave owners and wonder why we don't have an identity in this country. Then still you have someone of color saying that I wouldn't hire people with a certain name. And that is disheartening to me. I mean, when you have somebody whose name is Raven Symone, Raven is not a common name. She might be losing gigs right now because her name is Raven. And, you know, maybe because she looks. I mean, people look at the identity. And, I mean, what she was saying, valid, because we know that happens. But it's disheartening when you see a person of color saying that she wouldn't do that because of the fact of she don't like ghetto names. And Minister Farrakhan was trying to talk about we need to hold true to our identity, hold true to who we are if we are going to try to move forward to where we want to become. And that is something that holds true to a lot of us, because we want to try to, you know, a lot of us who were there 20 years ago were trying to figure out, I mean, they claimed there were more young adults at this particular march than there were 20 years ago, which is very possible. Just being there, I know there were a lot of older men that were there. At that time, they're probably in their 30s or 40s. So you're talking about 50, 60-year-old men that were there 20 years ago that were trying, you know, cheer it on. But what about us? What about, you know, those who were 16, 17, 18 years old that went 20 years ago, and now we're in our late 30s going into our 40s? And trying to make that change. And that's where the biggest point, I think, point of impact that happened in that march. You know, it was for the, you know, a lot of the older people went, but it was really for the teenagers, really for us, the young adults who were trying to establish what we need to do in order to build a better country. I mean, set the president was at the Million Man March 20 years ago. So he went from, a 30-year-old man who was, you know, from the South Side of Chicago, trying to hear and listen to what was going on 20 years ago, to the most powerful man in the world. Those are the things that have an impact on you. There were so many people. And what I liked is that there was a lot of people of entertainment and education importance that were there yesterday. We see people like Common that was there 20 years ago, that was there this weekend. You know, you see people like that, you know, right now have an important impact on our community, you know, has a voice there. And that's something that we need to hear. We need to hear more people with voices on the mainstream trying to build us up instead of trying to break us down. And going into election year, we have to look at those who are not for communities. They're more for their political game. When you see people like Ben Carson saying that single parents destroy communities, even though he came from a single parent household and, you know, had to fight in order to become the neurosurgeon he is, he said, oh, single parent households destroy communities. You know, they, you know, single parents who are actually on public assistance only breed violence and drug use and drug abuse. This is what he said. And we're looking at people looking at him saying, shoot, you know, he's a black guy, you know, he's a, you know, he's a Republican, so a black Republican, we might have to give him a chance. No. Listen to what he says. I mean, he might be better than Donald Trump, but that's not saying much. But a lot of people are looking to vote for him. You got people like that, you know, that are looking at Hillary. I mean, I don't have a lot against Hillary, but Hillary, you know, is very political. You have to listen to what she is saying to make sure that they're the right candidate for, you know, for us as a country. And honestly, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that person who sounds like he or she is best for what the country is offering. Minister Farrakhan yesterday was talking about how Thomas Jefferson, who was considered one of the founding fathers, was the most brutal of the founding fathers when it came down to slavery, when it came down to murders, when it came down to, you know, rape. Thomas Jefferson did all of this. And there's a great article in the Washington Post for those who can go to WashingtonPost.com. You should look up this here talking about the real America. Basically, how Italians shaped this country. And, you know, this is in the eve of Columbus Day. For those who have off tomorrow, you know, those who have off tomorrow are basically celebrating someone who was a murderer, who was an incompetent explorer, who lied to the king to try to get capital gains, you know, who helped aid in destruction of a people. But, you know, a lot of us are going to go out there and celebrate and party and do the festivities of Columbus Day. But you have to realize why we are in the place that we are. We're celebrating somebody like Columbus. We're looking to vote for people who are not in the best interest of our communities, of our society, then that aids to the destruction of our society. And, of course, it just seems like we just don't have enough time to talk about all the discussions. So, once again, thank you each and every week of listening to the Rise TV show on Toilet Productions, Toilet Entertainment, Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow, we're opening up our homecoming series, and we're talking about perception versus reality when it comes down to homecoming. And, you know, it's a big term from today's show, but perception versus reality, how what we perceived to be the ideal may not be the reality of who you're with. There's a lot of people who, you know, going through the homecoming phase now, been out of school 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still single, and where their perception of what they thought they wanted 15, 20 years ago is not the reality of where they are now. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow on Love Talk. You know, so once again, thank you each and every week for listening to our shows. We just, and if you have any concepts, any ideas, something you want to share with us, you can always tweet me at RSD44. You can go onto my Facebook or the homepage, and you can always call in to the shows as well, 347-850-1228. So, this is Mr. Rise TV, the Rise TV Show, Talk Radio, Toilet Productions, Toilet Entertainment, and until next time, we'll talk.